Okay, our reading is from 2 Corinthians 4, headed up here as present weakness and resurrection life. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we, who are alive, are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Hello everyone. Good morning. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I'll be doing the topic of not losing heart during suffering. It's a pretty easy one, right? We all know how to do that. While it's a difficult thing, it's a very important thing to think about and to focus on. Now, Paul begins writing about this by saying, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." He also bookends the chapter by repeating, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." We have something to learn about this in his way of phrasing this chapter by bookending it in this way. By him saying this, it should highlight to us the importance of what he's talking about. It should cause us to wonder why Paul doesn't lose heart and to seek out that same life-giving thing that Paul has. If what he's saying is true, if he knows what it means to not lose heart, then he has something that we should all be seeking. Why would we want to seek this? Why does this man's words mean anything to us? Because Paul's life was not an easy one. He knows what it meant to have been truly tested in the face of adversity. He had churches turn on him that he himself had planted. He endured shipwreck, and he was imprisoned and flogged many times. He endured a great deal of mental and physical pain throughout his life. Plus, he was sent personally by Jesus to speak to Jews and non-Jews like us, to preach the good news of him. So, him saying we shouldn't lose heart should really excite us. Now, the Bible, by saying this, assumes we will at least be tempted to lose heart at one stage in our lives or another. So, let's discover this incredible gift of not losing heart together. But before we look at what Paul says about not losing heart in suffering, it's good to see what he's saying in context. Now, chapter 4 builds on chapter 3, where Paul promises that in the gospel, true believers will be, and I quote, transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord. But how is this possible? How can glory, let alone ever-increasing glory, come from our suffering? What hope is there in suffering? And that's what Paul goes on to unpack. And he says in the first way to not lose heart is found in speaking the truth plainly. Because it is in speaking the truth plainly that the power of God is. Which means getting rid of secretive and shameful ways. So Paul begins chapter 4 with this in mind when he says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God." And the ministry Paul is talking about here is the ministry of the gospel. And it has been hard work for him. As I mentioned earlier, he suffered terribly for this ministry. It would have been a whole lot easier to have just told people what they want to hear, rather than the true gospel. It would have been easier to distort it, or not tell the whole truth of it, and keep people happy. But instead, as he goes on to say, in verse 2 and 4, "On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Now Paul doesn't lose heart or hope about the fact that people are being led astray. After all, it's not his fault if he's telling the truth. It is the God of this age, Satan, who blinds people to the truth of the gospel. And in the end, the truth is, it's God's word. So when God wants his word to work, it will work. Which is what he says in verse 4 and 5, where we read, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Paul doesn't lose heart or hope about the fact that people are being led astray. Just like in the beginning, when God said, "Let light shine out of darkness," and there was light, now God wants the light to shine in the darkness of people's hearts. And it will shine. It will shine in ours, and it shone in Paul's heart, and it shone in his readers' hearts, and it can in ours too. All we need to do, all Paul did, was speak the truth of the gospel. And that's why we should speak the whole truth of it. Speaking the truth plainly is a gift from God for everyone, and our words should reflect our relationship with him. Our words are a witness to that relationship. So we don't lose heart in the knowledge that our words can be the power of God if we speak plainly and truthfully to others about him. We can know the truth is powerful, but sadly, distorting the truth can be subtly present in our own lives. It mightn't be as blatant as a minister misinterpreting scripture just to get a bigger congregation or grow a bigger head, but we are guilty of distorting the word of God in less obvious ways. For example, popular Christian singer Lauren Daigle recently made a controversial statement when she was interviewed on the Dominic Nardi show and was asked, "Do you feel homosexuality is a sin?" Her response was, "I can't honestly answer on that. In a sense, I have too many people I love that they are homosexual. And I don't know. I actually had a conversation with someone last night about it. And I can't say in one way or another. I'm not good." Now, this was not mentioned to attack or shame her for her response. However, I show this to highlight how easy it is to avoid tough talk and to distort our beliefs to prevent discussing uncomfortable truths. But suffering this kind of discomfort is worth it. If we reckon with the fact that the truth of the gospel is God's word, not ours, then speaking the truth, no matter how uncomfortable it is worth it. It's not worth being deceptive, because not only is distorting the word of God deceptive, but it's ineffective. As Paul says in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." God's power is in the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. God's power is the same, God's power in the gospel is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And that's why Paul doesn't lose heart, even when he suffers for it. He knows the truth of the gospel is God's power to save all who believe in him. And because he knows this, he doesn't lose heart. He lives a life that is free from secrecy, a life that is free from distorting the word of God, and a life that is a good witness, one that tells the word of God truthfully and plainly, no matter how badly he suffers for it. Because it's God's power to shine light into the darkness of someone's heart, and so we shouldn't lose heart either if we suffer for the gospel, because God's power is at work in us when we speak the truth plainly. That's the first reason we shouldn't lose hope in Jesus when we suffer, because God's power is at work in us when we speak the truth plainly. Then Paul shows us another way, another reason we shouldn't lose heart, and that is that we can be renewed on the inside by the hope of eternal glory. As Paul says from verse 16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." And we should all be excited to know how Paul knows this tremendous hope. Outwardly, he's wasting away, like us all. Yet inwardly, something different is happening. Outwardly, his body is weak, he is growing older, and a life filled with such physical and mental strain would have surely been taking its toll. However, as he said earlier, he is hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. He says these things because he knows that he is renewed on the inside, day by day, by God. But it's not just him. He says we are being renewed inwardly, day by day. We who, like him, believe in Jesus and yet still suffer, we have the same spirit of faith, as he goes on to expand in verse 17. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So, why are these troubles, these afflictions and hardships, why are they worth enduring, and how do we come out the other end of them? How are we to sustain our faith and our hope in and through these times? Well, firstly, although here Paul calls them light and momentary, God doesn't take our pain lightly. It's deeply important to him, for it is achieving what he wants for us, and that's eternal glory. Secondly, the pains of this world are temporary. They, unlike glory, won't last forever. Thirdly, Paul had confidence in God's power. This sustained him in his troubles, which were significantly more than most of our own. So, we can be confident that God will do the same for us. Fourthly, true Christian endurance will lead you to an eternity that will be far more glorious than anything you've ever experienced in this world. It'll outweigh the pain of everything. I know that might sound like cold comfort, that our present suffering is light and momentary, and maybe a little insensitive or offensive if you're in the middle of struggling with something significant, but it's something worth meditating on. Now, I've never given birth, not personally, but I've heard it's a pretty painful thing. And I imagine that if during labour, the father said something to the straining mother like, "Don't worry, it'll be over soon. It's only temporary." Think about the end result. Now, the mother wouldn't be very happy about that. She'd probably even try and throw a punch. However, it doesn't make the thing said any less true. And this is helpful for us when we think about our own suffering, especially in the light of the glory that will far outweigh all suffering. Firstly, we can know that if you tell someone that is in pain these things, you should brace yourself for rejection. Does it mean, however, that you shouldn't say them to them? No, not necessarily. But it certainly means you need to be sensitive, at least about how you say them, when and where. Secondly, if you're the one suffering and someone tells you these things, although it may feel like cold comfort, they are true nonetheless. And it's something you can actually thank God for. It's true for mothers in labour to expect the joy of a child at the end of it. and it's true for those who are suffering in Jesus, to expect the joy of eternal glory at the end of it. Like I said, it may sound like cold comfort at the time, but the truth is better than superficial comfort. Now about, I'm a person who has also endured suffering, although I'm young. About 6 years ago, my older brother Jacob passed away. It was a terrible, painful time for me and my family, and it was a time that none of us thought would pass. I couldn't say at the time how that could be a part of God's plan, and it had me questioning whether justice was in that, the loss of that young life. However, during this time, the majority of messages I got from people would say something along the lines of, "If there's anything I can do, let me know." Or, "I'm sorry for your loss. I've known someone I've loved too. Essentially, I know how you feel." And while all these come from a good place, they're essentially powerless. And who knows if they're true? Could someone ever know how I felt? Or be truly sorry enough for my loss? And there was nothing they could do to take the pain away. They didn't have that power, and many still don't. But I know that in Jesus, it was God who sustained me through that time. I know the pain that I felt was deeply important to him, and I know that I could only have come out the other way of it that I have because of God. He allowed me to endure it. He sustained me through it because he knew that it was achieving for me what he wanted, and that was eternal glory. An eternal glory that far outweighs the pain of everything. Now, I know that eternity will be far more glorious than I could ever imagine, and it'll be more glorious than any pain experienced in this life. I know that I'll go to it resurrected with Jesus, and as verse 15 says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. While hard and real, my suffering is only temporary, as is yours, whatever you might be going through or will go through. They are simply a breath in the wind, a morning mist that evaporates when the sun rises. And for this reason, we do not lose heart in suffering. Instead, even in our suffering, we can thank God, and incredibly, we can glorify him, because we are being renewed on the inside, day by day, by the hope of eternal glory with him. Notice as well, Paul says we are being renewed on the inside, day by day. But what if we don't feel this daily renewal? After all, we still live in this world that has a talent for crushing hope. We're not resurrected yet, and we still feel pain and sorrow and suffering. And if you aren't, just wait a while. I'm sure you will. So what do we do in the meantime? How do we get this daily renewal? Well, Paul says, we fix our eyes on what is unseen. So verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If you take anything away from this, let it be that you fix your eyes on eternal glory with God. Strive to know God and his word now. Prepare to suffer without losing heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Think of him, what he suffered, what he endured, for the glory, the joy of glory set before him. And then you will not grow weary. You won't lose heart. This is Paul's key to ultimate hope in the world and the next. What you focus on becomes your reality. If you focus on the here and now, the seen yet fleeting pain of this world, then you're setting yourself up for failure. If you set your eyes on what is to come, the unseen, the glory of the resurrected life, then you'll be a Christian that can endure any hardship in expectant joy. So how do we not lose hope in suffering? Firstly, we speak the truth plainly, not distorting the word of God. For it's in the truth of the gospel that the power to win over to Jesus is. Secondly, we are renewed day by day by the hope of the glory of eternity with God. Thirdly, we fix our eyes on what is unseen, for what is seen is eternal. These are the ways in which we can imitate Paul and his life-giving example of not losing hope in Jesus, although we suffer. He stayed true to his faith to the end of his life. And if we're preparing ourselves to suffer well, if we focus on speaking the truth, if we're being renewed daily by the hope of eternity, and fixing our eyes on what is unseen, we will endure to the end too. And the pains that seem so permanent now will at the end be a mist that evaporates when the sun rises in the light of eternity with God. And I'm going to pray that we focus on these things now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the examples that Paul gives us through his letters. I thank you that we, like he, share the same spirit of faith and have the same power given to us from you that will enable us to endure any kind of hardship. I ask, Lord, that you will be creating in us hearts that lean on you in suffering, hearts that don't waver to social pressure, and hearts that will always speak the truth of your gospel plainly to others, because we know that it is in this power, we know that it is in this that the power to save is held. Thank you that you know the hearts of all those that are here. Thank you that although many are suffering, this time will pass. I thank you, Lord, that we'll go into the light of eternity with you, and this light will far outweigh all the pain we've experienced in this world. Cause everyone here to seek out daily renewal in you, Lord. Cause us to fix our eyes on what is unseen, on what is eternal. And in this may we endure to the end. I pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.